This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, if you got a question or a comment about the show, I want to hear from you. We have a 24-hour voicemail line. You can leave me sexy messages or queries or comments. It's 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Let me tell you about today's guest. He's a returning guest, which, as you know, is not that common on this show. So the people who get invited back, I don't know, they must be very special. Cooper S. Beckett is the co-founder and host of Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, which has been going on since 2010. He's the author of swinging and polyamory novels, A Life Less Monogamous, and the newer one, Approaching the Swingularity. Plus his memoir, My Life on the Swing Set, Adventures in Swinging and Polyamory. He teaches and speaks on swinging, polyamory, pegging, play parties, and coloring outside the boundaries of your sexuality. He is a graphic and web designer, photographer, and voiceover artist. He's been a guest expert on Dan Savage's Savage Lovecast, and you will recognize his voice because he's the announcer for my show, Sex Out Loud, so you hear him every week. He's currently working on two instructional nonfiction books, one about beginning non-monogamy and the other about pegging. And Cooper and I are going on vacation together soon, so we're going to tell you all about that. Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, Cooper Beckett.
Thank you for having me back, Tristan.
So
every time I hear you read my intro, it's like I should trim some stuff out of there. It feels like just flogging the
No, not at all. Oh my God, that's the short bio. You're totally fine.
Okay.
You have to own your awesome.
I that's something I'm working on.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. So Cooper, I like to call you kind of not your ordinary swinger.
I am not.
Because you began as a swinger and now you run swinger events, including the one we're going to in November, and you don't subscribe to kind of old school or traditional or mainstream swinger beliefs. You're really sort of at the forefront of progressive swinging as a movement. So first, let's just break down some of that before we dig into the novel and the vacation. What would you identify as some of sort of the problematic etiquette or cultural norms within mainstream swinging?
I was having a conversation with a few friends who consider themselves traditional swingers recently, and I feel like it's not an overall thing that they're doing. It's just there's a lot of these little things that I recognize in myself when I started swinging, like very blasé attitude toward barrier protection. And, you know, as a hypochondriac, that's very important to me.
What about just as a responsible sexual adventurer also?
Yes, but I feel like my version goes all the way up to 11. My panic about it all. And so I become evangelistic then. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that I see over and over on all the message boards and on Reddit is how they perceive single women. And this has been, it's bothered me for a while because I recognize, you know, things never bother you more than when you've done them yourself and got over them, right? So the outstanding way that a couple will go after a unicorn in the swinging lifestyle, and they're called unicorns because they're very rare, and they're not actually very rare. They're just difficult to find. Well,
and also, isn't a unicorn a single bisexual woman?
I think it's just assumed she's going to be single and bisexual, yeah.
Okay, because I think the bisexual part.
Swinging, usually it's just assumed the women are bisexual, which is also one of those things that's kind of miffy about the traditional swinging. And they, you know, whenever people are talking about how do I find a unicorn, which they ask a lot, it's always with these very rigid guidelines about how they want her to interact in their life. You know, she'll come, she leaves at a certain time, we don't talk to her, we don't interact with her unless it's the three of us. And I see these sort of fail-safes that people are putting in to protect their relationship that are actually going to cause damage to the person they're interacting with. Damage to their relationship, too. I feel like when people really, really strongly harp on rules and guidelines, like you will come home at this time and you will ask me before doing anything, it causes more issues than it solves.
Right.
And this is something I'm learning more and more as I do a lot of coaching with young newbie swingers. And this is something I'm seeing a lot, is when you're really rigid, you're just creating problems because it's so much easier to violate a rule when it's a very, very, very rigid, specific rule. And then the violation of the rule is actually worse than what was done. You know, right. If the violation of your condom rule is worse than your actual concern about the not
using a condom, yeah, right?
Then really you should be focused on the one thing and not so much the other one, I think. So, I mean, I think everybody is welcome to swing however they'd like. I would just like to see them opening their minds a little bit to the variance in the world that I noticed when I moved into poly and you know, got closer with the queer community. I've experienced a lot more joy in what I can still consider swinging than I ever did when it was still rigid couple on couple swinging.
Well, it's pretty heteronormative, is my experience.
Yeah.
It's very focused around the couple. And when they say couple, they always mean straight couple. And the gender norms are pretty rigid.
They are. And the process tends to be fairly rigid. Usually the girls play for a little while, and then the girls split up and they go to the other husband. And then there's some oral, and then there's penetration, and then they come, usually just the guys, sometimes the women too, and then that's done. And I can say that because that was my menu for a long time. You know, I'm not just putting anyone down. That was the way it worked.
Yeah, it's very specific ideas that are heteronormative about gender, about sexuality, even about what sex is. Like, I always imagined, like, the first time I went to a swinger party, it would be kind of like any other sex party that I'd been to. And all of a sudden I was like, wow, everyone's having vaginal intercourse and that's right. Wow, like no one's even having anal sex. No one's playing with sex toys. I don't see a vibrator. No one is kinky. There's no explicit power dynamics. Like there's no light bond. There's nothing.
Right.
Which if you're like, which just is like sort of boring and off-putting if that's not your idea of like the be-all end-all of sex, you know? And also, let's talk about male bisexuality in swingers.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, in general, the swing community is not fond of male bisexuals.
Well, that's being kind.
It is being kind. No, I mean, it's, as a male bisexual, it is obviously a point of contention for me, the way the swing community generally treats male bisexuals. In fact, I was told by our first couple when we opened up that if I want to get anywhere in this community, I should take bi curious off my profile. And here I thought I was walking into an exploratory experience for my life.
Right. You know? And they're like, okay, you can explore, but only these certain things.
Yeah. And really, it's more about her exploring. And you should just sit back and let the women come to you when they are ready for you. You know, it's... And I think a lot of it does come... You know, the swing community is vast and varied. Of so I do like to make the point that I'm not pointing out any specific version of the swing community, and that you will find like every race, every political affiliation, every religion in the swing community. And so a lot of the times when you find a community that feels regressive, it's not just regressive because they are swingers, which is not a thing. It's regressive because of the individual people and their beliefs within the community and right. how influential they are on other people in the community. And so as I opened up more and more, I found my way into a different version of the community. And mostly that's because I self-selected who I wanted to spend any time with.
Yeah, you basically created it too. Yeah. But I'm interested then, if you began life as bi-curious and now identify as bisexual and came out as bisexual within swinging,
yeah.
how that could, I mean, I feel like there's many barriers to coming out for bisexual men.
Oh yeah.
But within swinging, it seems to me like there would be enough sort of shame and judgment to shut that down completely. And you kind of came out the other end, which is you were like, no, wait, I am. I'm totally bisexual and a swinger. How did that happen?
Well, it was the first year of our podcast, and I sort of got bullied into it by Kidder Caper from the old Sex is Fun podcast.
Oh my God,
where
Sex
he's like, you know, you should come out. You should do it, man. It's going to be awesome. I mean, so not bully, just aggressively pushed into it. And then I thought, yeah, it's going to be awesome. And it was fine. You know, I very rarely get like aggressive pushback. Mm-hmm. I definitely got far fewer messages on our couple's profile when I put bisexual up there. But I feel like that's okay. You know, it was, you know, it's like when you're online dating, they say always lead with the things that people might not like about you and might judge you for, because then you don't get through dinner and then get judged and shut down for
right.
it. So I'm not upset that so many people don't message me because I'm bisexual, because I don't want to hang out with anyone who would judge me for being bisexual.
Right. Right. But how do you feel like you have the space besides this sort of peer support? It's not like you had support from like the larger community to come out as bi, and yet you did.
Well, I have this weird habit of creating things that I want. And, you know, like if I want a calendar that doesn't exist, I'll make it. So I wanted a community that didn't really exist. So I made it.
Nice.
And I had that. I had the privilege of being a somewhat popular podcaster to make that easier.
You know?
And so I do think, though, that it is all about self-selecting your community and not trying to cram yourself into a community that you don't actually belong in.
You know? Right, right.
A lot of people do that, and I tried to do that for a long time. And it was coming out as bi that basically kicked me out of the community I was trying to fit in. And helped me start building, because when you need to put something together from scratch, you kind of will.
Okay, we're going to take our first break and hear from our fantastic sponsors, including B-Vibe. You know, B-Vibe makes these amazing butt toys. I don't know if you have tried them yet, Cooper.
I have not.
They're fabulous.
Butt toys.
I'm bringing them with me on our trip to Cancun.
Hey.
So, and they're silicone, so they're shareable.
Oh.
So you should try them out because they're fantastic. And there's one with these rolling balls in it. And it's called the rimming butt plug. And so it creates
yes,
this particular sensation.
Yes.
Oh, you have used that one.
I have. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Yes.
Yes. It's really good. And it's not really like any other butt plug out there on the market. So you guys can check that and many more butt plugs out on bvibe.com. Coming up, we are going to talk about Cooper's new novel, Approaching the Swingularity. So stay with us. Join the Pleasure Chest all month long as they celebrate Anal August, 4 weeks devoted to that universal pleasure zone, the ass. Whether you're an anal amateur or a champion between the cheeks, the Pleasure Chest is here to help demystify anal exploration in a safe, inclusive, and non-judgmental environment. Visit your local Pleasure Chest store for a month of booty-themed education, ranging from butt sex basics to strap-on play to spanking. And since we all know the ass does not self-lubricate, make sure to stock up on your favorite lube, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Check out PleasureChest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the code Tristan at checkout to receive a free massage candle, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase. Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the open list features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1-year trial.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Pleasure Chest, which is one of my great sponsors, has these amazing sex ed classes. They are free. They are open to everyone, and they're part of their Pleasure Ed program. Let me tell you about what's coming up. We're going to have a special guest star from the Midwest in LA. August 9th, Tie Him Up and Fuck Him, the Butt Sex Edition with Gray Dancer, who's actually quite a gifted teacher, and you should check that out. And in New York City, August 9th, The Ultimate O with Greer. Go to thepleasurechest.com to buy something, you know, support them, support my podcast, and also check out all of their classes at their locations in LA, New York City, and Chicago. I am talking today with Cooper Beckett, the voice of Sex Out Loud. He announces me every week, and he is also a prolific writer and a leader in the progressive swing movement. We're talking about swingers, and he's written this new book, Approaching the Swingularity. Okay, so Cooper, there's a lot going on in this novel.
Oh, yes, there is.
Well, first of all, it takes place at an event called Xanadu, at a resort that is adults only, clothing optional, all inclusive, called Aphrodite. It sounds very much like an event you put on, which is the swing set takes over Desire, which takes over the Desire Resort in Cancun, which is actually happening. This is its sixth year, and it happens from November 4th to the 11th at Desire in Cancun. And you can go to sdesire.com to find out more, because there's still rooms available, and I'm going.
Yes.
Okay, so the first thing is, it resembles this thing that happens in your real life.
It does.
Like a lot.
Like a lot.
So my first question, of course, is this based on real people, and did all the real people give you permission to air all their stuff. It's a lot of stuff.
It is not actually based on people. It is inspired by people. I am very conscious not to write a person into the book. I instead take stories from multiple people, ideas from multiple people, and personalities of multiple people and blend them up and then give this person's story to this person. So it's never, wow, that's me for sure. You know?
Okay.
And I make stuff up because that's fun too.
What? But it's mostly a novel. What do you mean? No, yeah, I'm kidding.
Mostly it's shades of me. All seven of the lead characters have strong main personality traits that are a piece of me. So I spread out my neuroses and stresses to all seven characters.
Okay, that makes sense. But also, what I think is so interesting, the reason I ask you if they're based on real people is because they feel very well-drawn, very fleshed out. They are not sort of cardboard characters or stand-ins for a particular thing. They feel very well developed as people.
Well, I appreciate that.
And the way you've divided the book is actually by changing voice. Each chapter is broken down by someone's experience, and so it's from their point of view. Mm-hmm. How does that feel? Trying to sort of occupy all those different characters.
You know, it's really. This book was a very naive thing to jump into for me, because the last book, A Life Less Monogamous, is very simple and a very small story about two naive newbies entering swinging. And then I immediately decided I want to have more primary characters and I want to tell bigger story. And why not just jump, you know, do the George R. R. Martin thing and jump into people's point of view for an entire chapter? That'll be easy. And then, not to make things more difficult, but why not have one of the sets of characters be a lesbian couple, a married lesbian couple? Because I know all sorts of things about that. You know, right? It was hubris, like everything in my project life, Tristan. It was hubris to think I could do it in the first place. And then I announce it and have to force myself to be good enough to produce something like this.
But I think what's interesting about it, one of the strong points, is that there's a lot of emphasis about negotiation and communication. So it's not a how-to, but there is a glimpse inside these different ways that people negotiate their non-monogamy. And they're doing it in real time at an event where there's a lot of things available to people. So I think going in, you might think this is going to be just like swingers going crazy, having fun, swinging from the chandelier. And when you get into it, there's a lot more to it than just sort of fun sex. There's actually quite a bit of relationship communication that's sometimes hard even.
Well, I'm really mean to my characters. You know, I mean, there's no reason to hang out with characters in a novel unless they're going through something big. Otherwise, why are we spending time with them? We could be doing something else. And so it was very conscious on my part that I wanted every single person in this book to be going through something where at the end of this trip, they may not be the same, or their relationship may not be the same. Sort of like a point of no return happens to each character in the book. And I feel like, you know, that it may seem extreme, but this type of vacation is ridiculously intense. Like every year, I sort of have a little emotional meltdown around Wednesday, Thursday of the trip and need to take some time and regroup. And I'm not alone in that. Almost everybody I know who comes on the trip has something around Wednesday, Thursday, because it's like a swinger party that doesn't end. And that's intense. And so, you go around and you think you've got a handle on your issues or your relationship agreements, and then they're tested in a way that you may never have expected. or even talked about. And that can lead to wonderful, exciting new experiences, but it can also lead to, whoa, what the fuck did I just do?
Right, right. And transformation is kind of a pretty significant theme throughout the novel. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the transformative potential of swinging and sex positive spaces.
Yeah.
Which I don't think people, especially people outside this world, think of. I think everyone thinks everyone's having a really good time.
But they don't see the emotional.
They don't see the emotional labor, and they don't see the growth, quite frankly.
It's the most important thing that I ever did in my life was to open up into non-monogamy. Without question, there has never been a decision that was more transformative for me. And that's why I write these things, because I want to encourage people to explore beyond what they think they know about themselves, because that's where the cool stuff lives, you know, and so few people actually do that type of exploration, not even non-monogamy, just life and sexuality and relationships exploration.
Right. And I think it's, like you said, it's sort of, it's an immersive experience, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to confront your own issues of identity, desire, power dynamics in your relationship, jealousy, insecurity, you sort of have an entire cast of characters right outside your door willing to push those buttons, and they don't even know it. They're just being themselves. They're just like going to have breakfast, and they've like set off a rocket, and you didn't even know it, right?
Oh yeah.
So it's a really interesting sort of cathartic space also, where people are essentially on their own trips and journeys, but you can find a little bit of everything to make you dig a little bit deeper.
Yeah. And it's so worth it. That's what makes life worth it, I think, is when you can learn and change and grow. And I'm sort of addicted to that.
Well, let's take another break. That's an interesting addiction. When we come back, I want to talk about the host of the event, a character named Raymond, who resembles you. And a little bit of what Raymond's going through, and then we'll talk about, you know, the fantasy of the novel versus real life, which is what we're going to do in November. So
sounds great.
Stay with us. More Sex Out Loud when we return. Join the Pleasure Chest all month long as they celebrate Anal August. 4 weeks devoted to that universal pleasure zone, the ass. Whether you're an anal amateur or a champion between the cheeks, the Pleasure Chest is here to help demystify anal exploration in a safe, inclusive, and non-judgmental environment. Visit your local Pleasure Chest store for a month of booty-themed education, ranging from butt sex basics to strap-on play to spanking. And since we all know the ass does not self-lubricate, make sure to stock up on your favorite lube, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the code Tristan at checkout to receive a free massage candle, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Today I'm talking with Cooper Beckett, who is the author of the new book, Approaching the Swingularity. And it has great parallel to something that's going on in real life, which I've been talking about on the show, which is this big event, November 4th to the 11th, when the swing set takes over Desire Resort in Cancun. I'm one of the special guests. I'm going to be teaching classes and behaving shamelessly in other contexts. That's my plan anyway. And probably naked at this event. And you can go to ssdesire.com to find out all about it and reserve your spot. So let's talk about Raymond, who is the host of the event. Yes. That's you, right?
Well, you know, it's funny. As I said, I split myself into multiple characters. I have no shame in saying this. I combined myself and three other personality sex educators. You know, the kind of people who bank on, come follow me.
Right, right.
And so that is who Raymond Horn is. He's a personality sex educator that just got, you know, his heart crushed by his longtime partner for being not who he was before. And I deal with that, you know, obviously I got divorced a couple of years ago, and I really went through a tough path with how can I still be this evangelist and this advocate when clearly I have failed.
Yes. Oh my God.
And so that's what I gave to Raymond in this book.
So the interesting thing is that Raymond is depressed on this particular trip, which is just a fascinating device in a novel, especially one that is set, you know, in a world of hedonism and debauchery and sex. It's quite a stark contrast, again, I think, to what people assume happens when you go on these sort of fantastical vacations. And so I'm wondering what the process was like for you to decide to do that. It also seems kind of raw.
Well, you know, I'm very much a kind of expose the things I don't like about myself in my fiction kind of writer. And so a lot of the stuff I gave Raymond was big things that I dislike about my personality. And I have been in majorly sexy situations where I can't stop thinking about why I shouldn't be there, why I don't deserve to be there. And nobody else noticed because I'm very good at faking it. But I know how that is. And I know that that happens to people. And I do think that depression is incredibly underserved in fiction. And I know that a lot of people in open relationships are depressives. And I mean, there's all sorts of reasons, parallels we can draw there, but it definitely is a thing that our community overwhelmingly feels.
Yes, and absolutely within sex-positive circles and communities, I find that there's a high percentage of people dealing with mental health issues.
Yeah. So it was important for me to show the vast gulf between the personality he shows everybody, because you see that, and then the personality that he's dealing with inside, because his partner just left. And right. So he's really freshly raw.
And so let's talk about this notion that of being kind of a role model for people and what we, and I include myself in this, sort of what we owe them about our internal experience.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've always tried to put everything right out there because I have made a lot of mistakes. And I feel like if people can learn from my mistakes, they don't have to make them. And I don't feel obligated to do so. I did at one point, and I think the divorce actually helped with that because it helped me create boundaries within that. But I still feel a certain, like I'm the guy who will go to a play party, and if I know that one couple there, that no one's attracted to them, I will feel really bad and feel like I have to fix that for them.
Mm.
And that's something I'm also trying not to. That's the savior complex, which I gave to Bruce in this novel. And it's things that I'm really trying to grow on, grow out of, but change about myself. But I think it's, we feel like shepherds sometimes, you know, because we are pulling people, I mean, willingly, we are pulling people out of their traditional and somewhat safe lives.
Mm-hmm.
Into a world that is not as safe. And I feel responsible for everybody I pull into it. And I know I probably shouldn't, but I do. And so that's a, there's a lot of conflict for me on that.
This really, really resonates with me because I produced an event for 10 years on the East Coast. And one of the events, it was held twice a year, and one of them was at a campground, which was like, you know, sexy adult playground. Mm. And the other one was at a hotel. It was much bigger. It was more than 1,000 people. And I did have a sense of deep responsibility for people having a good time, getting what they needed and wanted, being in a safe or safer space. And it really stressed me the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah. At least at the resort. Oh, I'm sorry. Go on.
Yeah. Because you know, it always felt, it was interesting because people used to come up to me and be like, "Hey, Tristan, when are we going to see you in the dungeon?"
Right.
And I wanted to kill them all when they said that to me. But what I would say is like, I'm going to be in the dungeon at someone else's party. But this is not, this is like community service to me, and I am in service to all of you having the most amazing transformative time of your lives. Yeah. And in order to do that, I can't switch gears. I've got to be 100% behind the scenes, putting out fires, making sure things work. Because again, there's 1,000 fires and people end up at the end of the, at the end of the trip knowing about 4.
Right.
And that's good. Cause I don't want you to know about all the fires. I want you to just have a good time because you're on vacation. But I couldn't transition in that particular, you know, scenario and also sort of carve out time to have fun. It never worked for me.
I've learned to do it more at, specifically at this event, because, you know, 6 years now. Mm-hmm. And I recognized maybe 2 years ago that when people saw me having fun, they seemed more willing to explore and have fun. Mm. So it sort of became part, it's funny because I took the obligation to make sure they have fun and made it
you made permission it
for me
happen.
To have fun. Yeah.
this is a really good device, by the way. Yeah. It's tricking yourself.
And it worked. And so now I don't feel that I have to be at every event. That's something I used to do because I used, you know, even if I wasn't hosting, I felt like I should be there to make sure everyone's doing okay. And so now I make a point to enjoy myself more. And the number one thing, the hardest thing for me has been the idea of cliques, because a lot of people return to this trip over and over and over. And so they may look like cliques. They're not. But they may look like it. Mm-hmm. And if I was hanging out with people I wanted to hang out with because I know them, it might look like I'm in a clique and so no one can approach me. And I've realized that I tell everybody at any moment, interrupt me, say hi, any moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the most I can do. Because ultimately it has to be their, I have to put some onus on them to come get me.
Mm-hmm,
if they
mm-hmm.
meet me. And
well, and that's a theme in this book, is this sense of home, belonging, community, and how it's a community of outsiders in the sense that they are bucking certain cultural norms at various levels. And yet then you get to this community of outsiders and you can feel like an outsider in the community of outsiders.
Yeah. It's hard. And, you know, We've become insiders when we push ourselves in places. And that is one of the most valuable lessons I've learned, is you have to be willing to put yourself out there to get something back. course. So when people complain to me that nobody's approaching them, I ask them how many people they approached. Mm-hmm. Because if their answer is zero, well, clearly they're not doing their half of the work.
Right.
We all need to be willing to take risks in order to get people taking risks on us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Absolutely. A hard thing to learn.
And it's a hard valuable. Thing to accept someone's no, you know,
oh, yeah.
But if it's a no, it's a no. And you have to, and then you move on.
You say, thank you for taking care of yourself. And then you go have fun with someone who wants to have fun with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough.
Okay. Well, let's take another break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to talk about the Swing Set Takeover of Desire, which is coming up very soon. And we're going to have all sorts of fun there. So stay with us, everyone. Listen to these commercials and support the businesses that support this show that make it possible. And when we come back, we will talk about this epic trip, which is the setting for a novel, but which is also real life with Cooper Beckett. So stay with us.
Join the Pleasure Chest all month long as they celebrate Anal August, 4 weeks devoted to that universal pleasure zone, the ass. Whether you're an anal amateur or a champion between the cheeks, the Pleasure Chest is here to help demystify anal exploration in a safe, inclusive, and non-judgmental environment. Visit your local Pleasure Chest store for a month of booty-themed education ranging from butt sex basics to strap-on play to spanking. And since we all know the ass does not self-lubricate, make sure to stock up on your favorite lube, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide and use the code Tristan at checkout to receive a free massage candle, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest. B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase. Are you LGBTQIA? Genderqueer or gender variant, a sex worker, an activist, a polyamorous person? Well, the Open List features therapists, sexuality and relationship coaches, traditional and alternative healthcare providers, mediators, lawyers, and more who are poly-aware, kink competent, sex positive, queer affirming, and anti-oppression. They work with clients with alternative sexualities and relationship structures, including open relationships, polyamory, ethical non-monogamy, swinging, BDSM, and kink. They serve the unique needs of folks who think and live outside the box. To search for a professional in your area, go to the open list at openingup.net. If you're a professional who'd like to be listed, use the coupon code OPENTRIAL for a free 1 year trial.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with Cooper S. Beckett about his novel, Approaching the Swingularity, and also this event that he produces in Cancun at the Desire Resort, which I'm going to, November 4th to the 11th. Go to ssdesire.com. So before we went on the air, you said there's only 20 rooms left?
Less than 20 rooms.
Less than 20 rooms. Okay, yes. That's kind of huge because I think there's 100 rooms or something, right?
Yeah, 111 rooms, and we are in the final stretch here.
Okay, great. So people, if they want to go to this, like need to reserve their spot. And you don't have to pay for the whole thing right away, right?
No, you put down a deposit, I think, of one night.
Okay, great. A deposit. So what kinds of things can I expect at this fantastical? I mean, I've talked a little bit of, you know, about it with you, and I was on your show, and I talked with JV and Shara, who are also hosts of it. But I want to hear from your perspective what you think I'm going to have fun doing.
Okay. Well, this is our second takeover of the resort, which means our group is the entire resort. We're not just part of it. Mm-hmm. And that allows for a lot more flexibility than if we just went to the resort. You know, we get to control the theme nights, and we have two amazing Canadian geeks planning our theme nights for us. And we get to control events and classes. And so I get to teach with you, Tristan, mm-hmm. which is very exciting for me.
Very exciting.
And we really can help create an atmosphere that is as open and welcoming as possible, because we are very, very, we're paying attention to anyone who's trying to shut down what you're into. It's like, as a bi male, who my first time doing anything bi at this resort, I got, called the F word for my efforts, and it was by a drunk old white woman, and you know, it didn't surprise me terribly much, but again, it was like, okay, how do I get less of you at this resort? Mm. And the way I do that is steadily taking over more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, instead of, we really try hard to put the tools into all of our guests' hands to have the trip they want. This past year, for the first time, we had a post-it board on the windows of the lobby, and people could write down things they wanted, things they're looking for, and stick them on the lobby. Mm. And it was awesome over the course of the week to see it fill up with people wanting gangbangs, with people looking for a poly discussion, and just seeing all the people getting these things that they wanted because they've been given permission to ask for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing we need to be given, is permission to ask, and the assurance that with all reasonable attempts, you will not be shamed for what you want. And this year,
it's a gift. It's a gift to create that kind of space for people and to be in that space.
Well, and I'm so excited that this year we finally got the resort to okay gay couples coming, because it's been a straight couples only place.
But there's been lesbian couples.
Oh, there has been lesbian couples, but it's been they're weird about gay men.
Gay men.
They're really worried about straight men pretending and coming to the resort to be single men, because this resort does not allow single men.
Oh. Wow, that's a fun sitcom premise, isn't it?
Yeah,
we pretended we're a gay married couple so that we could get into a swinger event to be single straight guys.
I feel like we've
seen that show already.
Yeah, I feel like multiple times we've seen that show. I don't think it happens in real life, personally.
No, it doesn't at all.
But I understand sort of, I guess, the concern. But this time, you know, because it's our resort and we've assured them that everybody on our trip is going to be cool and vetted, that we can have gay couples. And I'm very excited about that.
I mean, that sounds great, because you've got a range of sexual orientations, a range of desires. It sounds like there's kind of something for everyone.
I hope so. We also have, we last year put on Desire's first dungeon night, where we had them build dungeon equipment and furniture. And so we're doing that again this year too. And it's something you don't see at this kind of event very often.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the intersection of the sex and the BDSM.
So I'm very excited about this year.
I'm excited for all those things. And we are out of time, Cooper Beckett.
Man.
I don't know how that happened. Fast. Let me tell people how to get a hold of you. Your website is coopersbeckett.com, and the website for the event is ssdesire.com. On Twitter, you're Cooper S. Beckett. On Instagram, you're Cooper S. Beckett. And that's you on Facebook.
Yep.
So thanks so much for being on the show, and I can't wait to see you in Cancun.
Oh, my pleasure. I can't wait to see you.
Now, here is a little gift from the Pleasure Chest.
Hey, everyone. I'm Brian from the Pleasure Chest. And today for you, I have a couple of oddball items that made it across my desk, and I thought I'd share them with you. The first is brought to you by none other than Bond, James Bond himself. It is a 007 branded Viagra. It has a menacing picture of Daniel Craig pointing a silenced weapon directly at you as you try to open the box. On the back of the box is a Pandora's wealth of hilariously ill-translated information and warnings. Here's some of my personal favorites. It can extend the time of sex. It is also effective for treatment of straight, but not stiff, period. It may provide prostate patients good help. Various symptoms caused by kidney deficiency, including sexual disorder, short penis, waist, knee soreness, tinnitus, body empty, and night sweats. I guess that's one thing. There's no comma. Etc. It actually says etc. And the ingredients are perhaps the most magical part of the equation. It reads like a fantasy novel. Crocuses, awito, snow lotus, Tibetan yak testicles, seahorse, etc. Again, it actually says etc. And then it goes on. Velvet and ginseng. And there are even some liner notes. Number one, do not expect too much too soon. True to life, really. Number two, in case of multiple erections or long erectino, that's not a typo, without ejaculation, drink cold boiled water to dissolve it. Cold boiled water. It's actually my favorite of all the boiled waters. Number three, non-reusable within 24 hours. I guess after that it's fine. So apparently that's what the world's greatest super spy takes when he's had a few too many shaken and not stirred. All from the mines at Hong Kong's Red Golden Dragon Biotechnology Group Limited. Here's another beautiful list of ingredients for another brand of boner pills called Man King. Scalper's penis. Chinese matrimony vine. Pilos antler of young stag. Longan's sarcocarp. Buffalo's penis. Lily. And fur seal's penis. So there's a couple of items that I would probably pass on, except for the amazing 007 tie-in. If you're a collector, get it. Otherwise, I can recommend a couple of items to definitely stop into the Pleasure Chest and pick up, one of which is our best-selling Blue Wolf pills. They work fantastic, similar to Viagra, but a little milder. And my personal favorite, the V20 Max. It's a very natural-feeling erection enhancement pill. They're very affordable, and we always have them in stock.
And that comes from the Pleasure Chest. Go to thepleasurechest.com to check out more. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett, and my guest from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and Aaron on the board today, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.